Coast to Coast, it is the podcast that everyone is talking about at the West Coast Eagles and right around the country. And your stars are Hamish Brayshaw and Oscar Allen.
Guys, thanks for having us.
Come on.
Good to be back.
What's
Aussie?
Going on, boys?
Nah, bugger all, mate, bugger all.
Yeah, bugger all, exactly right.
What happened last week? Let's get straight to the chase. What happened last week, in particular, halfway through the third quarter, when I was watching the game, I was at a waffle game, and I was just glancing up, keeping an eye on the Waffle Eagles, keeping an eye on the waffle game I was at, and I thought, 33 points, put the cue back in the rack. What happened?
Yeah. Obviously, they were tougher than us. I think that's the bottom line. They were probably tougher than us on the day. And we went into the game knowing they'd had a tough run of form. And obviously, they lost Spud's game and there was a big build-up for that. And then they lost the following week to Essendon. So obviously, a lot of comments in the media were made about them by former players. Mm. So we knew they were going to come out with that mindset. And we knew if we didn't put them to bed, they'd always be there. And I think at the end of the day, they just looked like a team that was a little bit hungrier than us. And on ground level, it did feel like that. That's why they won. And we know what they bring. They're a talented side. They played finals last year and they were touted to be a top four side as well this year. So they probably showed a little bit of that, but it also was a little bit damning on us. I didn't think we were that tough, which is disappointing from a playing perspective.
Yeah, they just looked like that. I'm not sure, we didn't really get it over here, but my mum has just flown over from Melbourne and has told me that they were getting ragged out in the media pretty heavily the last couple of weeks. And I think that it showed in that last quarter especially, the emotion that they sort of brought to that game and the energy almost looked like they were, you know, sticking it to the people that sort of had them pinned up against the wall. But yeah, we weren't great.
Yeah, I think it's one of those line in the sand games where it's like they've probably had a meeting and been like, boys, this isn't acceptable. And you either go one way or the other. And I think even if they played like that and say we have time again, we end up winning by a goal, whatever, they'd still go, right, that's our brand.
Yeah,
and everyone would say, that's our brand. If that's St Kilda's brand of footy, win, loss or draw. So I don't think it was the outcome that they were too concerned about. It was more the process of how they went about it. Something we always talk about, process, not outcome, and they really beat us to it.
Yep.
Yeah, Nick Riewoldt was the most vocal, and I would imagine that got played a few times when one of your club greats is really critical of you, and there's no doubt that would have happened. And guess what happens this week when you talk about what your mum said in regards to St Kilda in Melbourne? Guess who's copping it now?
Yeah, Nathan Buckley and Collingwood. It's been a very similar scene. There's a lot of writing off Collingwood, so they had a lot of list changes in the off-season, and there's a lot of talk about what their future potentially will look like. And so we understand the exact same thing is going to be happening again. And so much you don't want them to come into a game like that because everyone's lighting the fire underneath them.
Yeah, but just waiting for him to blow up and go whack.
But we know what happened in the final. The final last year, the same thing.
Yeah.
All this was written about how riding Collingwood off and then they come out and beat us by a kick. So we're understanding of the contest at hand.
To the St Kilda game, just talk about no Luke Shuey, we get that, and then Shannon Hearn-Bunn goes down early doors. And a lot of the criticism through social media and aspects of journalism and media, whatever it may be, they say lack of experience, that's why they rolled over in the back half of that game, West Coast. Can you put it down to lack of leadership?
No. As a player, though, I've been around for 4 years now. I've played, almost 50 games. Pulling the I'm inexperienced card isn't acceptable. And I think everyone knows that. We're a club which has a lot of leaders around the four walls. And you look at our team that still played on the weekend, majority of our leadership group was still out there. Majority of our younger players who were blossoming into leadership group were still out there. So we got to take it on the chin. And you know what? Injuries happen. A lot of clubs have injuries with their best players. And it's not acceptable to just say, oh, Bunga got injured, so we'll allow a team to kick 8 goals in a row on us. So, yeah, it's not acceptable.
Do you move on really quickly? And that's the best part about it, because you've got a Friday night game against Collingwood, so you don't have to wait till Sunday. So that's a couple of less sleeps to get back on the horse.
Yeah, exactly right. We've already done all of our reviews and we're preparing for Collingwood. Best thing about footy, and it's what's always spoken about, there's always another week in footy.
Yeah, you can always go again. And I'll tell you what, just thinking, the way that the media's gone after St Kilda and they're pumping a fire up against Collingwood. It's almost a blessing in disguise that I wasn't very good, because media attention would just suck, wouldn't it? Imagine getting written off like that in the media. You'd hate it.
I was lucky
I was 3-and-done and not very good and didn't warrant much attention.
I reckon it's good not to be the best player, because what happens when you're the best player? You get tagged every week.
Yeah.
So someone's played to
someone,
beat the shit out of of you every
And then
week.
As soon as you play a bad game, the world's against you. So like, good luck for the next 10 years, mate. Like, I think you might be getting a little bit of that.
Lockie Neal, he's still getting like 20 touches a game. I'm thinking, I am on fire. Yeah. Like, I'm the best player. They're unreal. Talking about how his career, he's got some career-ending injury. I don't know what's happening.
Come on.
How was Yanchip?
Oh, yeah, awesome. I think we lost 78 points in the end, blowing the dog off a chain about an hour north of Perth. So it was it was a tough game. They were very good, West Perth, and we tried our best to hang in there, but the fight was there, but they were just too good for us.
Obviously I originated from West Perth.
Yeah, you are a Falcon.
I'm a Falcon, so a lot of the teams I played with are still hanging around there. A lot of the players, should I say. So your Blacks, Nelsons, Connell West, they've got a really strong midfield.
They've all played sort of 100 games together, and it's just like, you know, they're a well-oiled team and have been doing it for a long time.
On the waffle landscape, do you see them as one of the top teams that kind of contend for the premiership this year?
Well, it's tough, only being two rounds in, but I mean, the way they played on the weekend, that stands up against anyone. And I mean, it's albeit against, you know, an inexperienced side that we were on the weekend, but that's a good brand of footy that they play, so it definitely could stand up.
Can you shed some light on the car convoy up to Yanchip?
I was humbly trekking up in the BT50 by myself, but there was a few boys that sort of picked up a few on the way. I was going to pick up Zach Langdon, but then it was just a short walk from him from Burns Beach. The convoy wasn't all right, and then we got caught a little bit in the cyclone traffic coming home. So
How long did it take you to get home?
Oh, it took me like an hour and 30 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes to get home?
Not what you want after a loss.
No, it wasn't. It was a lot of mirror tests, actually. Sort of staring, not really focusing on the road too much, looking at the mirror, just thinking, gee whiz.
Could have been worse, Oscar. Could have been a 4-hour flight.
What we were saying was, it always happens when you have a bad loss that not only was the flight delayed by an hour because the bags were taken to the wrong airplane and 4-hour flight, but we get there and the week before, or 2 weeks before against Western Bulldogs, we lost, but I thought we played with a bit better spirit.
Yep.
And our bags were there straight away off.
Yeah.
It just so happens. Yeah, we're waiting for an hour for our bags
once
we got
back
to the tarmac.
The Virgin Lounge is closed, so you can't get in. They've got only vegetarian options on the plane, and all the business class seats are taken up, so you're all sitting in the toilets just about.
Yeah, and obviously with COVID this year, you can't really book flights in advance.
Yeah.
So you just splattered all over the plane. You're not. Obviously, it sounds like I'm pretty snobby and pretentious right now, but you're not sitting with anyone you know.
And a lot of time to reflect after a loss.
Yeah, a lot of time to sit back and think, where do we go wrong?
What the hell happened?
Well, you've had time to reflect. Still to come, the votes. And how hard is it to give votes in a loss like that?
Well, it was difficult. There was a shining light, I should say, but the Miners were pretty difficult.
Boys, just at the end of last week's podcast, you asked the question, who is going to win the US Masters?
Yes.
Have a listen to this.
Ozzie, I did mention in one of X's clues that he tipped Rory McIlroy to win the Masters. That's on this week. Do you want to go on record and give us your prediction?
Yeah, I will. Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson, excellent. By a shot. I've gone Ricky Fowler by three. Goss?
By three?
I've gone Ricky Fowler by three. Goss, anyone?
Yes, I do. I think Robert McIntyre.
Robert McIntyre by?
Playoff.
Excellent. All right. Well, there you have it. And we'll touch back in next Tuesday on Coast to Coast and see how we go. Yeah.
All right. Hang on. Wait.
Well done.
No. So we know that DJ didn't.
DJ missed the cut. Ricky Fowler didn't play.
Didn't even play.
He was a late exclusion. He was $17 on the first line of betting. Thank you very much. And then
Didn't even get to the start line. Was the late withdrawal.
Did you put a dabble on any bets?
I had $2 on Cameron Smith. Don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that on the podcast.
Gamble responsibly.
Yeah, gamble responsibly. But yeah.
Cam Smith. $2
on Cam Smith.
Was there and
And was there and thereabouts.
Hang on.
Yeah, Rob McIntyre.
When I said Rob McIntyre, you both looked at me like I'd come down from another planet.
Yeah, well, he didn't win. You had him
for 12th.
Yeah, well, he
gets to, from Scotland.
Yep, he gets to come back next year, tied for 12th, two under. So,
you know, they say you're not first, you're last. So, no one won the bet.
There you go.
Oh,
there you
that
go.
Is a disgrace.
Now, just on the Masters, Oz. I don't know if you watched any of it. I'm an avid golf fan, so I did.
You
watch,
are. You love your golf.
Yeah, I am. So I watched until on the final round. Watched until about 1 o'clock. Went to bed. Woke up at about 5 to watch the last sort of hour and a bit of it. Matsuyama coming down the stretch. He had 3 bogeys in the last 4
didn't
holes.
Didn't he want to lose that?
And Zalatoris he carded a 9-under for the whole tournament. And so just run us through, try and put yourself in Matsuyama's shoes, knowing that he's got the Major, the Masters, everything on the line, and you're hitting bogeys, you're coming down the stretch. I don't know, I mean, four rounds of golf, four quarters of footy, tough to sort of compare the pair, but run us through how you'd be thinking in that sort of scenario.
So, four-shot lead overnight?
Four-shot lead with with 5 holes to go, you're so, 4 shots up.
So it's 4 shots overnight, so it's like starting the last quarter, 5 goals up.
Yep.
5 minutes to go in the last quarter, you're still 5 goals up, and then you kick one out in the full, they rebound and kick a goal.
Yep.
Then you kick it out in the full again, and then you do it again and again and again. The 15th, kicking into the water, kicking it into the second tier.
Yeah.
He did all he could to not win, and that was actually the knock on him going into that final round.
Yeah.
His putting, he has been a bit of a choke artist in the past.
Yeah, he has been.
He's a poor putter, but, I mean, it was one of those Masters where a lot of the big-name players weren't really hanging around by
the
end
of it.
Yeah,
they weren't firing. I mean, yeah, to come down the last needing a bogey to win it, it looked like he was just playing for, like, didn't want to go. It didn't care about having a birdie, just wanted to hold on and get the win.
The old Jimmy Bartel after the siren against Hawthorn on Easter Monday, kick it behind
to get the victory. That's almost what it felt like.
But congratulations to him, the first Japanese player to ever win a major.
Yes, and very well deserved.
Yeah, so congratulations.
Pictures of him at the airport on his phone, sitting on his own with his master jacket draped over the seat in zoo class.
Yeah, good on him. Very well done, and a great tournament and a great spectacle.
Yeah. Let's get a couple of other footy points. Nat Fyfe, 0-6 at Optus last week, comes back out after, has to go to the phys ed department bloke who's running Stefan Giro through his paces because he was the medical sub and didn't get on the field, and had to ask how many kicks he was allowed to have and how long was he allowed to spend out on the ground to get some practice shots. Have you ever had a bad day at the office having shots for goal?
Yeah, I think it's in the nature of the sport. As a forward, I've had a lot of bad days. Been pretty fortunate. I haven't had too many out on playing AFL footy where it's televised, but I'm sure you'll ask Hammer. I've had a lot of days before training where I've gone 0-6 from set shots.
Absolutely.
You have those days all the time, but I mean, the work ethic is good to see, and I think it probably shows the stature of who he is, because I reckon if I went up to strength and conditioning coach Warren Covert after the game and asked him if I could have shots of goal, he'd probably laugh at me.
Yeah, laugh at you too. Get stuffed. Bath. Well, just a little bit of inside for the Coast to Coast fans. I don't know how, by some miracle, Nick Nat invited me to the Brownlow in 2019.
Beast.
I was in Melbourne, got tagged along, went there. Afterwards, Fyfe's obviously won. And again, by a stroke of miracle, I've found my way up into his room with, everyone sort of celebrating the win. Obviously knows my little brother Andrew, plays with him. So we got talking, and this was probably at 2 a.m. in the morning. He's celebrating a Brownlow medal. He had to be up, or got up at 5:30 the next morning to go and get a workout in at the gym with a broken collarbone or something before he then had to go and do his all the media interviews for the next day. So for a champion player, that's the sort of work ethic you're after. I don't know if I'd be doing that.
Nah, I'd be sleeping in.
Thanks for coming. But some are bred different.
Rumour has it he was carrying a footy around bouncing it the whole time. But Braden Ainsworth, that is Braden Ainsworth work ethic
to a T.
He's like that.
And certainly a bit like him to kick 6 points as well.
Yeah,
he wouldn't kick him straight.
I love you, Bubba, but there's a bit of truth to that.
Shivers. But in terms of my worst goal kicking performance, I reckon I kicked 8 points in a game one day.
What?
Yeah, 8 points. Three goals, eight or something. So got the score. 11 shots on goal.
That's Buddy Franklin like.
Yeah, it was an under-19s game for old Haileybury and kicked 8 points.
I reckon my worst game ever would be like 5 or 6 points? Nah, it wouldn't be 6, maybe like 5 points.
Anyway.
Is he Winder kicked a goal?
Yeah, he did. The big fella. Well done. Great to see him get on. I mean, I personally I'm not a massive fan of the rule that you debut as a medical sub, but fortune favoured him and he got out and actually played pretty much the majority of the game. Did the number 22 proud and kicked a sausage, was 1 from 1. I could have gone my first kick.
Oh, one, yeah.
I was first kick, first point, which is a different club, and not everyone can get in there, is he?
It's
so
more
unlucky.
Exclusive, yeah.
Yeah, a bit more exclusive. That was my first kick. Yeah.
Was it Izzy's first kick as well?
It was Izzy's first kick, first goal.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I'm in the 1 from 1 club, 1 win, 1 game. So you'll have to get there. You'll get there one day. He's good on you, mate.
Still to come, Josh Rotham's going to join us. JR, we'll let you know what his intro song will be. Pre-finals bye. Now, this is Stephen Quartermain who posted this on Twitter.
About this.
He said, do away with the pre-finals bye and make it a preliminary final. So both teams, everyone gets the time off, and that clears the air of injury. And also for players who get concussion, players can be eligible to suit up because of the 12-day break. And that goes back to Chelsea Randall, who's missing the AFLW Grand Final, the West Aussie girl for the Adelaide Crows women. She got concussion, played the whole year, and can't play the Grand Final. Do you see merit in what Stephen Quartermain has to say?
I see merit in what he's saying, but I disagree. I mean, I think you get to that stage of the year and injuries are part and parcel of footy. If you get hurt, you know, that just happens. And there's emotion in the game, like Shep missed our grand final in 18. And, you know, you could have given him an extra week, maybe get back. He probably wouldn't have. But, you know, I just think you should stick with the final system is set up in a way that it's the best managed team gets the fitness at the end of the year and has a good crack at it. So I see what he's trying to say, but I just think, I don't know about it.
It's a long time to cool your jets, isn't it? If you make the grand final, you've got to sit around for basically 2 weeks.
I understand why there's a pre-finals bye. Obviously, logistically, it's important to get your best players back. But also, when I think about it, if you're going to talk about putting a bye in so your best players can come back from concussion, all right, let's have 2 weeks between every game. So if anyone's ever concussed, they can come back. It's the same principle, really. I understand you want the best players playing on grand final day, but we didn't have Nick, Shep and Gaffey, and we won it, and that's what makes the story even better. We're missing three of our best players and still won it.
And reliably informed, the Super Bowl have a week off.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl don't play as long a season. It's a different game, American sports. Like, there's the way they go about it's a little bit different. But I just think at the end of an AFL season, finals included, you've started training in November and it's October and you're gassed and you just want to get it done. And I just think it'd be prolonging it for no reason.
I think one part of the football industry is we're very reactive. We're very in the moment. Something happens, let's change it because of this. If someone wasn't concussed on the weekend and going to miss the female grand final, they wouldn't have even thought about this. And it's just the way that footy works and that footy media works in a lot of cases. Everyone's really reactive and wanting to change rules because of a one-off instance. And for concussion, it's been great. But there are other situations where I think you need to have a deeper look at it and just sit back and take a breath. I don't think there's much wrong with the game.
150 years, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Well done to Bella Lewis, who took out our West Coast Eagles AFLW club champion during the week. So well done to Bella.
Yeah, well done, Bella. I was there last night at the awards.
Who was your pick going into it?
I thought it was going to be taken out by one of our Irish girls, Niamh Grace or Ash McCarthy. Ashley McCarthy. We got to the 6-round vote mark, and it was all squared between McCarthy and Lewis. And by that point, McCarthy missed the last couple of games, and it was almost a dead rubber. But spoke very well for an 18-year-old, very composed, and very well done.
What was the count like? Because our count last year, we had the running tally of like the top 10, but you didn't have individual round breakdowns. You didn't have the final leaderboard, and it was something where our good friends, Jared Brander, was yet to poll a vote.
Yeah.
He'd played a couple of games prior and hadn't polled a vote yet. 0 to 15 is what you can poll per game. And we were looking forward to seeing him poll a vote.
Pop up on the votes.
But they didn't do it. Did they do it in the female?
Well, the way they worked it is it's only a 9-round season. So, I mean, looking at it, I thought they could have easily just sort of run through the whole round by round. But they just broke it down. They went rounds 1 to 3, rounds 3 to 6, and then
individual
announced the winners. It was a very well-run night and a very well-deserved winner.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. Look who's in the house. That is the goal song that Josh Rotham would have chosen last year had we had games at Optus Stadium under COVID.
Yep, never kicked one. Don't know if he ever will, but geez, it'll bring that house down if that goes off. Welcome, Rothy.
Thanks for having me, boys. Only the best tag team of all time. DX,
yeah,
Hannah.
Up there. Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys.
All very good.
Yeah, but DX up there, no question. How are you, mate?
Good, mate.
Tracking well.
How are you, boys?
Yeah, we're going all right.
Three of my favourite dudes.
We're very good, JR. Very, very good. Well, look, we've touched briefly on the game, but we want to get your perspective of what happened last week against St Kilda, especially down back. What was it like with the ball coming down?
Yeah, well, they obviously were bringing the heat in the midfield and then peppering it into their forward line. So I think as a team, we didn't handle their pressure very well, and then we couldn't get composed coming out of the back half, which forced repeat entries. So that hurt us on the scoreboard.
Just in terms of your own game, mate, I thought you played pretty well, and you have been for the start of this year. How are you finding your own footy in 2021?
Yeah, well, it's been good to be in the team. Obviously found myself in the twos the last couple of years more than the ones, so it's been good to be in the team from round one and through to round four, so hopefully I can stay in.
Just a quick one for you. What do you reckon the mindset changes? Obviously, you've played all this year, as you said. You played a lot of footy last year. Probably get to that stage where you're not instantly on Monday thinking, am I going to play this week? Like, you probably get into more of a routine. I think that's a big thing, especially it's helped my footy in the last couple of years. When you're in a routine of you're not spending all this energy, am I going to play, am I going to play? You can focus on the game.
Yeah, I think so. I think it comes with the work you do during the week, and then obviously performing on the weekend helps. I think I've been a lot more consistent and rounding out my game a lot more, so I think my performance has just been better, which is why I'm staying in the team.
Yeah, sure.
Did he play well enough to figure in the Hammer Time votes?
We'll wait and see in terms of that one. As much as I'd like to give him 3 votes every week, no, we'll see how we go. Just a few things, Roth. You played 18 games now. You debuted at Collingwood, against Collingwood at the G. The late call-up. You just want to run the fans through that, because I remember the day and there was excitement, but we didn't really get to share it with you because you were pretty much straight off.
So I think Scully, ex-host of the podcast, obviously.
Who?
Had a bit of gastro that day. So I got a text from him in the morning. I got told I was playing waffle. Obviously, I hadn't played AFL before, so I didn't really have any expectations going into the week. Got a call from him in the morning saying he's got gastro, whatnot. I think, did we have a captain's run that morning?
Yeah, so you'd been playing pretty well in the waffle leading up to it. And so, the rumours were flying around. Geez, when's this kid going to get a go? Yes. When's Rothy going to play? So, when are they going to give the fans what they want?
Scully gave me a call that morning. We did captain's run. I think we're in mobility.
Yeah.
And I had my phone on me, and Simo popped up on my phone.
Scary. Not a good moment.
Oh, scary.
not a good moment to see.
And he hadn't popped up very often. So
Simo, right, what's going on?
Obviously answered the call.
What, said random number?
Yeah.
Didn't have it saved yet.
He actually said, mate, you need to get a voicemail, because every time it goes to my voicemail, it just beeps. And I missed one of his calls. So that was the first thing he said. I said, okay.
Thanks, mate.
Yes, sir. And then he told me I was playing. So rushed to the airport, on the plane, got over. It was kind of a good thing because I didn't really have the time to think about the game and probably overdo it in my head. So
you skip over rushing to the airport, but what's that like? You're going to the airport. Yeah. What's that genuine trip like?
Obviously, in the morning, I was playing waffle the next day. So I had to go home, pack my bags and just shoot off. But Serge and the guys at the club, Ian Miller, he looks after the families with that sort of stuff when they do debuts and that. So he ended up calling the family, getting them tickets, getting them flights. So it was.
Did Birdie make it over?
No, I wish. Little Ralphie, my family dog.
Now, mate, you've gone from there. Last year you won the Emerging Talent Award 2020. You've all but locked down a spot in the team. I don't know if you know this, but this year so far, 4 rounds in, you actually rate elite in disposals and kicks for a defender, 16.3 and 12.3, okay, respectively. You've really come a long way and loving what you're doing. Now, off-field stuff. We're going to steer away from footy real quick. I've just got to, you love playing the guitar. You've got Billy, your dog. You know, you're taking up golf. What are you doing with yourself outside of the game?
So I'm studying a diploma of business, believe it or not. Could be a business from one day. So I'll finish that and then hopefully get into uni. I dropped out of school, so obviously I have to take a different pathway to get into uni. But yeah, like you said, getting into a little bit of golf, playing a bit with Jack Petricelli. So we're both definitely below average, but play a bit of the guitar. Got my dog Billy keeping me busy. So
still living with Stan Ross?
I am still living with Stan.
Great Wembley Premiership B grade Norm Smith medalist.
Yeah, he's back at East Perth now.
What's that about?
Playing down back. But
has he been getting into the golf? He loves it.
He loves his golf, Stanley.
Kepka.
Every second day he's got a package coming to the house. So
he's got some seriously cool
golf
shoes. He's got some elite kits.
He's addicted to buying different golf kits, but no, he's good to have.
What's your strength on the golf course personally?
Me? Not a lot.
Driving
the buggy through the bushes.
And just finally, before we move on, your beard and your haircut—you often get mistaken for Jared Brander.
Yes,
in the papers, reporting. Have you guys had a chat about it? Is someone going to change the look? You know what is going
to
happen?
He's been changing his looks up a little bit, but keeps coming back to the same kind of look.
Yeah,
so
high and tight with a nice trim beard,
I reckon. But no, I think we'll just keep running with it. Keep the commentators guessing.
You familiar with this game show, Ross?
The Guess Who?
Yeah, mate.
Yes. Let's do it.
Welcome. So, as Ozzy just mentioned, yes, it is the Guess Who. We've got 10 clues. We'll run through. It is a player on the current player on the AFL list, and the questions start from hard, and we'll get more and more clear as they go along. But buzz in at any time.
Let's do this
with Lex every morning. Call her up on the Tuesday and say, "Look, this is it." She didn't get it until the 10th.
Oh, wow.
She took her all 10.
That's a great feeling. There's no pressure whatsoever.
No pressure. She's been bigging up the fact that she spent smoking the last couple of weeks, Oz. So
it was a draw the first two, wasn't it?
You've got a chance to get one on here, and you've got Rothy's help. Righto, here we go. Question one, or clue one. Shorter than 188 centimetres.
Okay.
What's the average height of the AFL, in the AFL?
About that,
I reckon.
So, like, yeah. Jacko Nelson would be like, I reckon he's 188. Yeah. So is 188 included? Or
188 is included.
So 188 all
inclusive,
less?
Inclusive, yeah. Inclusive of 188.
I'm
there you go.
Less than. Do you want to take a stab with me?
Less than or equal.
Straight
away. You've just done the little crocodile sign, haven't you?
One each.
Yeah.
Do you let's not do that. Let's keep going. He passed his driver's test on the first go. Just for your listeners at home.
Can I ask?
It's not me.
Yeah, I didn't pass it.
I failed as well.
There you go. Righto. Clue three. In his AFL headshot, the one you'll find on the West Coast website, he has no facial hair.
Once again, Jacko has no facial hair. Do you want to take a stab with me? Who do you reckon? So shorter than 188, past driver's test, AFL headshot, no facial hair.
No facial hair. Does that mean he previously had facial hair? I feel like it does.
Not necessarily, like.
Or is that a curly one?
I think it's a curly one. Do you want to take a stab?
Or do you want to hear the next clue?
I want to hear the next one. One more, then we'll have a stab.
Clue four. He got his first tattoo at the age of 21.
Okay, he's got a tat.
Does Jacko have a tat?
No facial hair.
No facial hair.
I'll take a stab.
All right, go.
Is it Tommy Cole?
It is not Tommy Cole. Righto. On to the next question. It's not Tommy Cole. Pretty sure he's got facial hair from his eyebrows going down his chin. On to the next one. He has played for both West Coast's AFL team and West Coast's Waffle team.
That's left field. So I reckon that's a left field hint.
Is it Liam Duggan?
It is not Liam Duggan. Mm. Unlucky. We move on to the sixth.
What did Lex get at? 10.
10. Didn't get it until 10.
Okay.
Clue six. Wakes up at 6:05 a.m. Is the typical...
Religiously,
typically, gets up at 6:05 in the morning.
So he's one of those psychos.
All right, so like, who hasn't played in the Waffle team? Liam Ryan, who's under 188. Liam Ryan, Andrew Gaff, Dom Sheed, no.
Again, I'm not going to let you sit here and just run through the whole list.
I reckon premiership player, like premiership tat.
First tat.
On to the next one.
Look at these two blokes.
I'm so obsessed.
Do you want to say that?
Do you want to go? I've had a stab.
Is it Zach Langdon?
Well done! Yes! Zach Langdon. Yes. Excellent stuff.
Very good.
Got it after six.
That's awesome.
That is very, very well done. For the clue, for those playing along at home,
I know.
The clues coming down the stretch were he has 11 more games played than goals kicked in the AFL. Justin Bieber is his favourite artist. These next two would have been a dead giveaway. He's a two-club player, and he shaves his legs every couple of weeks.
Best pins in the business.
Yeah, by
the
length of the Flemington strike.
My goodness.
He is really well-defined.
His tiger calf tattoo just mint.
I think that's the one he got in Bali.
Could you put that on your calves?
Nah.
A tiger
tattoo. It wouldn't fit on my calves.
I think I might just get it on my face.
He's definitely just going to get it on my face.
A big tiger tattoo on my
good langers.
Yeah, doesn't he?
He's a good-looking man.
Time for the votes while the man is in the room.
Yeah, while Rothy's in the room, we're going to go through the votes. And let me break it to you early, mate. You didn't get there. Unfortunately, you didn't make the cut.
No honourable mentions either.
Yeah, we did a couple last week.
Okay.
And I'm not going to do any this week because it was a...
You could be the unsung hero.
Well,
supplement.
We're going to start from one up to three as we normally do. One vote and now topping the leaderboard, Oscar Allen.
What?
Well done, Ozzy. There you go.
The
one vote.
Sideways glance.
All right.
Well done. A couple of goals, a couple of hit outs, a few marks. No, mate, you thought you were very, very good on the day.
Thanks.
Two votes. Jeremy McGovern.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Yep.
Very good. I think he had 9 intercept marks or something ridiculous like that, and was very good. Plenty of meters gained coming off the halfback.
He looked dejected, JR.
Me? No.
I'm happy there's a ball there. Happy there's a backman.
Our backs were elite. Like, think you told me maybe after the end they had 27 intercept marks.
Yeah,
something ridiculous.
If they ever have that, we win. Like, well, it's just a shows.
I can't remember what the stat is in terms of inside 50s, but gee whiz, they weathered the storm.
We had 13 to 29 in the second half.
Yeah, they the backs really held up.
Yeah,
and 3 votes. I'm not sure if you have listened, Rothy, but I love rewarding goal kickers. And with four of the best, and probably his best game for the footy club, maybe outside of that 5 goals he kicked a while ago. Jack Petrocelli
receives
the 3 votes. Yeah. Very well deserved.
Well,
his best game for the club, I think.
Yeah, I think he obviously had that game against Port in the wet where he kicked 5, but I think this was a more well-rounded performance.
Yep.
He really got into the game with his pressure. I mean, he works really hard, and he's had a pretty tough run of it. Obviously, 2019, played every game, played the final, and then found himself out of the team last year, tore his hammy, missed a lot of the year, and he's a really talented guy, and he's been working really hard on what he does away from the club, being more professional, and I think it showed on the weekend.
Yeah. Everyone knows how quick he is. Like, there was in his first season, there were glimpses of him just running down the wing, lightning quick, but he really put it on display in front of goals. Like, burst away, that outside sort of check side that he kicked to run away from that pressure and kick the goal. He's really sort of coming into his own, which is great.
I reckon the backs, and you could touch on this, probably the worst player to play him in pre-season after Liam, I reckon, would be him and JD.
Take your pick. Yeah, I've played on all of them over 4 pre-seasons now, but Petch, obviously really good to see him play to his strengths on the weekend. No one's going to go with him when he puts Jets on.
Yeah.
No one.
Except for me.
Except you.
Yeah, you're the fastest man.
I'm actually lightning quick.
You're the fastest man.
They actually do call me lightning.
Leaderboard. But
yeah, very well done. The leaderboard while we're there. On the 1 votes, Hearn, Kennedy, Shuey. 2 votes, Sheed, Gaff, McGovern, Kelly. 3 votes, Natanui, Barras, Petrocelli, and topping the scoreboard with 4 votes.
Howie.
Somehow.
Our boy Oscar Allen.
Somehow.
The homegrown hero Oscar Allen.
We have mentioned this. Speech is being prepared as we speak for the Hammer Time Award.
Yeah, I'm criminal of writing speeches early as well.
Yeah, sorry, actually.
In the shower, yeah, you mentioned
and
it.
And pulls out the paper from the pocket. Well done.
The unsung hero moment, Oscar Allen step up to the plate.
The unsung hero. Bit of a different one this week. Obviously, we had an injury early in the game. Shannon Hearn went down with a calf. Hopefully, he won't be too serious. He'll only miss a week or 2. I'm not too sure yet. But obviously, as a backman goes down, you have to change the magnets. And who else but Jakey Waterman putting his hand up?
Yeah, the lush.
Obviously, he probably had a little bit of a tough day. He hasn't played much footy. He's played a half before this game. In the last 6 months, he's had a pretty crook back for a period of time. And I know himself, if you ask him, he'll say he didn't play very well, but he played a tough role for the team. I mean, he's come in as a forward, and then 5 minutes into the game, Simo's put the message down, Matt, you're playing halfback, some position he hasn't played since, I don't know, a game last year when someone else got injured. And I thought he took that role well. And although we didn't win, he probably didn't have the best performance he'd like. Playing the role from the team is pretty important.
Yeah, what did you think of that, Ruthie, down back?
He was a little bit shaky early. Obviously, by foot, he got thrown out of position with Bunga going down. But I think for him to just come back, play his role for the team and just cop it on the chin was really, really good.
Collingwood Friday night, before we let you go. Josh, what are you expecting from them?
Well, they're obviously not afraid to come over here. We saw that last year in the final, so we're going to expect them at their best. We've got a few things we're going to tidy up and go at them all guns blazing, so it'll be good.
Josh Rotham leaving the house. Thanks for joining us, JR.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks, mate. Love you.
Thanks, Robbie. One of the great men.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that guy. One of the great men. Love you like a brother.
Who do you reckon next guest? In the socials, let us know. If you
see
us in the
that's
socials,
a tremendous question.
Message down, comment on our Facebook, Instagram pages. Let us know who you want to see next on our socials.
Very good question.
And just on that, sorry. Oh, speaking of socials.
Oh, no. What have I done?
I was hit up on the week about you, Aussie.
Oh, God.
G'day, Hammer. Hope you're well. Not sure if this is the right medium for reaching out RE Coast to Coast podcast, but I've got some ripping content for you.
Oh.
Gee whiz. I was watching Oscar Allen wait patiently to return to the field in the third quarter after his rotation. The mature, stubborn Josh Kennedy was ignoring all signals to come off and get the young eagle Oscar Allen back on. What's it like waiting on the pine when you've got a stubborn teammate who is taking an eternity to get on the field and then you don't get a touch for the remainder of the quarter?
I mean, that's spot on. It's happened in a number of... Actually, funny story. This happened round 1 against Gold Coast. And obviously the game was done at the end of the game. And what do you do at the end of the games? You take off probably your best or most significant players. You don't want to get injured. So in my mind, that's your, if we're full fitness, that's Luke Shuey,
yep,
Josh Kennedy, Nick Ngannoue, and Jeremy McGovern.
Yep.
We try to do that against Gold Coast, and I was thinking, oh, I could sneak a fifth here, go home with a little bag. Like, it could be a great way to finish. And JK saw me and blatantly like locked eyes with me from across the field and gave me a look like, mate, there is no chance I'm running across the field to come up.
Oh, that is funny.
And he does the old doesn't look at the bench because we have the bench.
Yeah, the sign's holding up.
Yeah.
JK and sort of squints in his old age. Oh, I can't see the numbers.
It's almost like he waits till there's 15 seconds left and looks.
And then puts his hand up, like, yeah, I'll get to your next one.
Oh, mate, the time. I'm not going to make
it.
Like,
we'll
give away a free kick.
That was Cam Gloucester on Instagram.
Well, thanks, Cam.
Yeah, keep hitting me up and Aussie if you've got anything for the Coast to Coast, and we'll be sure to get you on.
Oscar,
yeah.
What are we expecting Friday night?
A better performance. It'll be a more spirited game, and we'll really crack in. We know what they bring in. I think there's still a little bit of scar tissue from the final last year. Obviously disappointed with how the season ended, and, yeah, looking forward to responding in a positive way.
What about Waffle Eagles?
We've got out at Bassendean. We've got Swans on the Saturday. It's the it will be the first time that we take some turf out there should we get a win. The one ground we haven't had a win at is Bassendean.
And
blue.
You can watch all that action, of course, on our Waffle Live stream.
Yes, you can.
YouTubeous and also Facebook. So follow that.
Absolutely.
On our socials at the West Coast Eagles. Looking forward to that one with Thumper Bandy calling all the action against. No Jets. He's injured. He's done a calf.
He's done his 400th calf, poor Jets. No doubt he'll be at the Canberra having a couple watching the boys. But no, it's the Lewis Jetta Cup out there this week. Funnily enough.
Looking forward to it.
Nice work. Good on you, lads. Nice work by you. So the Hammer Time runaway leader, Oscar Allen, has joined us. Yeah. Hammer, you proud that he's sort of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Somehow.
Absolutely. No, he's doing well, the young fella.
Do it all again next week.
Thanks for having us. See you next week.
Thanks, guys. See ya.